And yeah, as close as you can get to.
Oh, should
that,
I get closer?
Yeah,
I didn't want to
so.
Like overpower.
No, no. If you're gonna like scream laughter or something, yeah. you can lean back or yeah, or off to the side or whatever.
Okay.
But otherwise, yeah, just kind of get yeah, but
yeah,
as close.
I feel pretty comfortable.
About an inch or so.
Should I be like this?
Yeah, you can like kiss it, like I am, like just like this.
This is like a scene in. You're trying to seduce me.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit, and simpler living, and today, touring with and without people.
Yes.
I just made that up just now.
I know. I was watching you type it through the internet.
Through the internet.
Yeah. Well done. We are in the studio with my betrothed, Adele Dittus. Hello. How are you?
I thought we got married 7 years ago.
I know. We did.
Hello. I am here. I'm with you guys. This is awesome.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Did I ask thanks. My way onto the show this time?
I don't know.
I'm not in charge of this part of the show.
I forget if I like pressured Brock. Like, Brock, I've done some cool stuff. You should talk to me.
I think I said
on
that.
On a microphone. Did you?
Except reverse.
Okay, cool.
Strike
I mean,
that reverse.
I would prefer... Wait, you asked me to be here?
Yes.
Okay, I prefer that than like me forcing you to make me be here. Thanks for inviting me, you guys.
So has that happened before?
Where I forced my way onto the show?
I'm trying to remember now.
No, I'm always pulled in kicking and screaming.
I actually don't. Yeah, when did you force
phone.
Your way on?
It's been a while. Oh, that was great. Yeah. Yes. I was glad to grace your show with my presence on the phone. And then I was like, I could keep chattering here, but they probably have other things to talk about. I think I was like sautéing squash.
Well, it was good that you answered the phone. I was really worried that you wouldn't answer the phone.
I was like, why is my phone never rings? No one calls me. They just text me these days. So
oh, yeah.
I was really surprised to see a call coming. It was very exciting.
That's when you know you have to be like on and with it and sound cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I thought it was just you. Your number is probably your number.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going to talk about more. I don't know. Going to talk at length.
Yes.
More than just how to tie your hair back when you're wearing a bike helmet.
That's right. Yeah. And if anybody has questions.
We can talk about for an hour, apparently.
Well, like 2 weeks ago, we had Adele talk about how to put your hair up. If you're a lady that wants her hair to look good after she wears a helmet. So.
Yeah, I have a few ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a few.
Yeah. I was just telling you, Aaron, my woes of how I've been wearing a hat recently because my hair is just long enough that like I can't really do much with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry. I cut Brock's hair like 2 weeks ago and it's not short enough.
Well,
sorry.
It was 2 weeks ago, but I realized what I need to do with a haircut is
well,
like,
I'm looking
cut
at you now and I see what needs to be changed. And if I had a pair of scissors in my hand, I would run across the room and be like, snip, snip, and like totally fix everything that's happening with Brock's hair.
We should make this podcast more compelling with a live haircut.
Right. Because that's exciting.
Seriously.
Get some sounds of the clipper.
Well, you know what is exciting? You just got a brand new bike.
Well, I've
it's
had
not
this,
brand new
I've
bike, I guess,
bike.
But yeah.
Yeah, I just completed some mods on this bike that I originally had my mom ride around.
That's right.
So it's nice and upright and comfortable, but also small. It's this 12-inch mountain frame with 24-inch wheels on it.
Wait, so 12-inch as in it was supposed to have 12-inch wheels?
No, no,
no.
No, no. Like, that's the size of the frame.
Ah.
And how big are the wheels?
24.
That's tiny.
Yeah.
Is that like a step
it's
up
right
on a
out
folding
there.
Bike?
Like,
I want to go see it now, but I won't.
It's Brock's basically, I mean, it doesn't have any hinges or anything, but it's basically the size of like a turn, maybe, folding bike.
Okay.
The wheels on the Brompton are smaller than that, actually. I think they're like 17 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's actually, that's how I got the fenders, though, was because Tern has 24-inch wheels on their bike.
Otherwise, you would never find anything.
Yeah,
like that.
I don't know what I would do for fenders.
Well,
I
those
know,
would
maybe,
be
like,
big wheels for a folding bike. actually.
They're on the large size for a folding bike, yeah.
Can, like, roll over everything.
Yeah.
And that's what you do with it.
But, yeah, it's my I don't know, getting into trouble bike,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
what,
mischief
what
bike.
What sweet action has it seen thus far?
That we can talk about.
Well, I told you, what I did today was I rode around town, zipping around through the city, and took it to what I called the big three bike shops.
Yeah.
Do you want to share what your big three bike shops are?
Sure.
Pantheon of bike shops.
And I would have made four. I'll say this right now for the record. I would have made four if Gladys Bikes was open on Monday.
Okay.
They would have been my first stop.
Okay.
Because I know they would appreciate that this is a Georgina Terry.
So out of this list, we need to figure out which one of these would drop off the list if Gladys Bikes was open.
Oh, okay. I'll let you guys do that.
This
so
means
the,
war.
the big three that I visited today to brag about this build, to specifically like just to brag about about this, like, and then like, you know, I bought some other stuff, but really I wanted to go in and show how nerdy is that? Like, hey guys, check out my bike. But anyways,
that's not
instead
what?
Of having like a baby shower, you need a bike shower where people come and like give cute accessories to your bicycle. Like, I've named my bike this.
Bring me a Portua rack.
I'm registered at this bike shop.
Anyone want to guess what size wheels he's going to go with?
Exactly. Well, his father had 20-inch wheels, so.
Let's guess the date it'll be completed.
Always later than
so I first went to Clever Cycles, not just because my girlfriend works there.
Sure.
Because my girlfriend works there. But I thought she was going to be gone already, and we just kind of caught each other.
Mm, okay.
She was walking out as I was walking in. And, you know.
That's so cute.
We just waved. And
you're like, hey. Cool. Don't want anyone to know.
As lovers say to each other, oh, hey.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, bye.
So I went into Clever, went over to the shop and like bragged about this bike and showed it to them. And Eva, who we've had on the show.
Well, yeah.
You and I haven't had
we've
her on
never
the
met
show.
Her, yeah.
But she's been on the show.
She
this
has.
It was a great episode, yeah, yeah. too. I still really
thanks Guthrie
feel yeah really feel indebted to Guthrie and to Steph Routh, but anyways, yeah, Eva noticed the original saddle and she's like, that's not comfortable, is it? It is not.
You look like you could use something else.
Yep.
You should buy something.
Come here
let me take care of you.
So yeah, got me a nice B17 on there.
Nice. The industry standard.
That's right.
So you have the B17 with the little slot cut in it.
Is this
a standard?
That's a standard on
standard B17
Terry,
on this new one.
On the Red Hair Among Horses is the Imperial.
Wait, this
slot.
One's called what? Terry?
Well, I don't know.
Ask,
I haven't named her yet. No, I haven't quite named her. I've been calling it the Terry.
To get to know her a little bit first.
That's, you know, much in the same way, like, for shorthand, I'll call the Red Hair Among Horses the Surly. Surly.
Right.
So I haven't quite figured out a name for this one. I was calling it the Tiny Terry for a while.
Okay, sure.
Aww.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Tiny is kind of a trendy word right now.
It is?
Yeah. Well, not too trendy. It's just like things are like, things that are tiny are cool. Like tiny houses are cool.
Let me make this more appealing for Aaron Flores. Tiny is like the least cool word out there these days. Nobody's talking about
how tiny
anything is.
You're going to get so much shit for calling it tiny.
People don't even know what that word means. You probably shouldn't call it that because nobody will understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll call it the Tiny Terry.
Wait, so you went to Clever Cycles. What were the other two bike shops you went to?
And then from there went to Universal because they're one of the workers there, Mike, him and I have gotten a rapport. Just they're the shop that I get parts from.
Yeah, because they have almost everything in stock all the time.
The analogy I've always said is like they're the AutoZone for bike parts. You know?
Get in the zone. Bike part zone.
Bike part zone. and so went over there, bought some brake pads because I need brake pads for both of these bikes, actually.
You always need brake pads.
Yeah, stopping is important.
Yeah, and... But really, that was an excuse to bring the bike into the shop.
And by the way,
you should check out this build that I just finished.
Oh, this old thing?
And yeah. Actually, there was a woman who helped me, came over and looked at it and was like, "That's an original Terry. Oh, my gosh." Yeah.
Bike geekery abounds.
Yeah, it was
great.
You must have felt so validated.
I did. I really. It was.
That totally.
It was what I needed
right
today. It was what I needed.
Yeah. You had a great day. I can tell.
Then I went to VeloCult and got myself some coffee and wanted to show it to the guys, but they were like all really busy.
Yeah. You're right. Like, oh, I'm just going to sit over here with my coffee.
I'm just going to hang out here for a while.
Be like, hey, can you take a look at my bike? I think the brakes need work. By the way.
Check it out. No.
But you also figure that if like you go into VeloCult with a cool bike, at some point someone's going to be like, hey, that's a cool bike.
Yeah, just go tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just
and tomorrow. The next day.
Just keep going.
Just keep on going back.
Day. Until I finally get the validation.
Until someone says, that is an old Terry, isn't it? Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
It's nice to have a thing that you like.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Like, I originally felt a little torn in that I've kind of stumped this ethos of like, you only need one bike and, you know, one bike for every job.
You only need one bike.
That's true.
How many do you want?
Well, and
why stop at
and
one?
Yeah. So, you know, then I purchase a Pugsley and am building that with my girlfriend. And
that's
then
right.
I purchase this one, you know, and have built this.
It's a slippery slope.
It is. It is.
Once you kind of break past that, you only need one. Like the next thing you need a garage.
Now I need one more.
Now you need a garage.
Yes. Now I need stuff for my stuff.
Yeah.
I need stuff to like hold all this stuff.
Generally, we're against materialism here on this show, but if it has to do with owning more bicycles, you go
pass.
For it. Well, congratulations, sir. It's a good looking bike and it's right outside the window.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have more options, you know, to ride on different streets, different ways, with different people, for different reasons, on different bikes.
Well, now he's going to, like, ditch us because we don't have mountain bikes. So
probably.
You can go where we cannot.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, if this is so much, like, for mountain biking.
You're not going to be in Oak Ridge next week doing Alpine?
In the setup that I've got going on.
So maybe we could still keep up with you.
This is my, like, zipping in and out of alleys.
There we go.
Bike.
Excellent.
You know, which you guys know I'm, like, adept
gonna
at.
I was say, I saw some pretty crazy shit the other week Bike Scout.
Did we mention during Bike Scout that Aaron did
zipping
fall?
Zipping through alleys in him crashing.
Right. I think we talked about, like, the possibility of broken ribs,
onto
right?
the ground. Yeah. How are your ribs feeling?
I think we talked about it.
Better.
That's good.
They're still sore, like, especially if I, like, am breathing deeply.
Okay.
But better, I don't know. Someone posed the possibility that maybe they're dislocated, which sounds worse.
Whoa.
It does.
Yeah. But I don't think that's
true. I feel
like
you would look different. I'm looking at you. You seem okay.
Yeah.
A dislocated rib. I feel like I should see something like jutting out the side.
You would think,
well, and the main symptom of that is back pain. And that is, fortunately, one of the symptoms I don't have.
That's good. You know. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, yeah. Well, yes. So we'll look for you shooting out of an alleyway soon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, Thunder Island.
Yes,
they
this
had
weekend.
Their anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thunder Island
did.
Brewing out in the Columbia River Gorge, city of Cascade Locks. We had them on the show, was it 2 years ago?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave Lips is the owner. He's a nice guy. And he was nice enough, since we're friends, to let us stay at his house. So
he kept offering us like various rooms in the house. Like, hey, he gave us the whole tour.
Did he have like names for these rooms? Like,
no.
You
well,
can
he
have the
had
lighthouse
a really
room.
Cool.
You can have the shrine room.
No, the Buddha room.
Right.
The Dalai Lama. No, no. He had this cool half finished attic, but then. I don't know. I'd sort of set my mind on camping. So he gave us this whole like half hour tour of his house, which was awesome. And then he went back to the brewery and we were like, let's just camp in the yard.
Yeah. Well, we carried these tents all the way out.
Yeah. When you carry a tent like 45 miles out, you kind of want to use it.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Just to validate that you put in all that effort.
Yeah.
And it would have been easier to sleep indoors because it got a little sprinkly that night.
It did. It got kind of wet.
It wasn't like super wet, but we woke up and it was raining multiple times. You know, that's the sort of, it's the, you know. It's,
did you guys have the forethought to put the rain fly?
Oh,
up?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Most definitely.
The rain fly was on, but we didn't like stake it out. So there were like a few puddles in the tent in the morning.
Oh, like it sagged.
Yeah. Well, we did put the gi lines out, which is what holds the fly away from the tent.
Right.
So.
And when it touches the tent, that's when it begins
yeah.
to leak.
Yeah.
But like considering what the weather forecast was, we got really lucky. I feel like we were fortunate because it looked like the little picture for the weather showed rain.
Yeah.
But it rained for maybe 20 minutes on our bike ride out there.
That's
yeah.
not bad
so,
at all.
You know, Oregon.
Totally. Yeah. And Thunder Island Brewing, still a great place to get a beer. Still a beautiful place.
And more
gorgeous
and more people
sunset.
Agree with that. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. Like there was like these pinks and purples and.
It was.
Everything you want. And the stern wheeler, you know, paddled itself by the paddle wheel boat that goes up and down the Columbia River. So we got to see that. Apparently, Dave, the owner and head brewer at Thunder Island Brewing Company, has an air horn that he will honk at the stern wheel as it goes by because he knows the guy that runs the boat, you know,
of
some
course,
of the river pilots and stuff. And so they'll honk at him and he'll honk at them. So. But he didn't do it because there was a band playing that night.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a great spot, and we congratulate them on 2 years of being open. Adele, you and I realized that we've been there every year since they opened.
We have. This was our third year in a row in October.
Ooh. Yeah.
So it's kind of a tradition now, which is awesome because I do love traditions.
Yeah.
Next October, we'll go out again.
Totally. Yeah, it was a good spot to be.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that was a good time.
Next year at Thunder Island.
Next year at Thunder Island.
And guess who rode out with us?
Daniel Harkins.
Almost.
Aaron
Very
Delaney.
Good guess. Another good guess. No.
Bikey person, but not male.
Bikey non-male person.
Yes.
Eileen Crowdy.
Also a podcast host.
Also Leah Benson?
Nope.
Oh. Also a podcast host.
She moved our couch.
Steph Routh?
Steph
yes.
Routh, yeah. Yeah, she said, hey, I'd like to go with you. It sounds like you're going bike camping and would like to go. And so, you know, we were honored. She rode with us.
I've run into her a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Because I see her like every 6 months or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I see her like every 6 days.
Oh, nice. You're a far more fortunate man. So we made up for all that missing time by hanging out with her all day.
Oh, nice.
But she rode out with us and went to the beer party. And then camped mm-hmm. with us. And then she had cool. to take off earlier because she had to get back in town. But yeah, so it was cool to spend a lot of time with Steph Routh. She has a great show that's just now being produced.
Yes,
called,
coming out.
Oh, what? I should remember what it's
why
called.
Why aren't we talking about this shit?
Why isn't anyone talking about this? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that will be launching very soon. We're going to let everyone know when it does.
I want to brag that I was there the day she came up with that title.
Didn't you come up with that name?
I was there when that name, I don't want to take credit for it.
Okay.
But
I thought that was a story I'd heard, but I wasn't sure.
It came out of a conversation we were having outside of the Foster Fred Myers.
Oh, okay.
All so right. You get partial credit for
her,
this.
Myself, and Anna, like the three of us.
Whoa, yeah,
we just happened to meet outside this Fred Myers, and we must have spent like a good half hour, 45 minutes just talking about infrastructure and podcasting.
Just
and
then, in the parking lot?
And her podcast, yeah. Well, right at those bike racks.
Yeah.
You know.
The ones you can't fit your bike in?
No.
Oh,
the ones
the
I can.
Ones. Okay.
Yes, on the other side of the building. yeah. We were on our way out and I looked over and I saw her bike, but I didn't realize it was her bike.
Okay.
And then she came out. I was just like, that's a really nice bike.
She does have
Somebody
a nice bike.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has taken a lot of thought into this bike.
Yeah.
And then it was Steph, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, keep your ears to the ground for that one because it's coming soon.
Oh, I can't wait.
So, you know who else has great beer besides Thunder Island Brewing?
Who
we recommend greatly?
How are we going to get through this podcast, Brock?
I know, seriously. How can we?
How are we going to have the?
I'm trying to think of like some kind of smart,
the inspiration,
smart aleck remark.
What liquid inspiration can we find around here? Where?
If only there was a place near the studio that served some sort of liquid refreshment. Oh, you know what? There is. It's the Beer Mongers over on Southeast Division and 12th. It's really close to a Quiet Rail Zone. It's really close to a max stop. What else? It's bussable by the line four.
If you want to watch the playoffs, you can go to Beer Monitors.
And if you want to watch the Blazers.
That's right.
Every game with sound.
Sports balls, games yeah. are on there.
If you're into sound and basketball.
Baskets
yes.
and or balls.
If you like sports.
Courts.
You can go to the Beer Mongers. Anyways, they're very nice to hook us up with beverages every time we do a show. And so we recommend next time you're in the area, you should stop in and buy one. You could either have one there for no extra fee or you could take it home with you. So, yeah, the Beer Mongers.
Yeah, you can be social or not social.
Seriously.
It's great. You have two choices.
For all kinds of beer drinkers.
There's also, for our listeners, there's also a cart out there called Best Friends.
Yeah, I just noticed it. It's like brand new.
Just brand new.
I saw some people hanging out. I don't know what they look like. Best Friends.
Do. Wait, do you think those
is
are the ones?
Because they ate the food there and now they're best friends.
I don't know.
All like
I don't know what
chubby.
They serve. So this is the thing I'm putting out to our listeners is find out what Best Friends serves.
Right. Are you looking for a best friend?
Because we're not. I was trying to figure out because I saw it and I was interested. My curiosity was piqued, but I didn't see like any sort of marking of what kind of food.
Well,
it
was all closed up when we were there.
Okay. But yeah. They didn't have like any sub like best friends subtitle. Like what are we talking about?
Peanut
butter
and
jelly?
Yeah.
Or
ooh.
Best friends could be lots of things.
Like peanut butter and celery.
Yeah.
Like craisins and walnuts.
Like peanut butter and mayonnaise.
Like a horse and a jalopy. Because if the jalopy breaks down, then you need a horse to
then
pull
you
it,
need
right?
A horse, yeah. Right.
Or you could just ride a bicycle.
I think the second.
Yeah.
I don't have to feed my bicycle.
I think it said juice on the side of the thing. So at least there's juice.
Oh,
there.
Really?
Juice? Like
juice.
J-O-O-S-E?
Oh, like the malt
like
liquor?
Steroids?
No, like I'm assuming something that you squeeze a vegetable and then there's juice afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds like the perfect, you know, after beverage for having a lot of beer. You go have
sure.
your beer, then you go kind of sober up.
Then you get your hangover
get
cure.
Your,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get your vegetables.
Right.
Well, I'm going to open my beer.
You should get that out.
Brotherhood yeah. Steam. Oh, it's a dry hop beer. Last time when I was here chatting with you and Tim Mooney, I had a wet hop beer.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
should we read the mail now?
Well, this
while we're talking
is
about
somewhat
it?
Appropriate.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I tell you what. Hang on.
What
we
do
got
we?
Mail. Hey, we got mail.
Is this the first time you've ever read the mail before interviewing your guest?
Maybe. So Patrick and Chris both wrote in to correct our confusion on wet hop versus dry hop. So wet hopping is both a new trend of tracking down fresh hops to use in the brewing process instead of dried whole hops or pellets. Dry hopping is about adding hops late in the process after the beer has cooled down, regardless of whether it's wet slash fresh, dried, or pellet. That's how IPAs get the hoppy flavor without getting crazy bitter. So wet hopping, brand new fresh hops. Dry hopping, dried hops. So thank you, Patrick and Chris, for correcting our ignorance.
My beverage is taking on a new subtlety of flavor with that knowledge. Thanks, guys.
So do you know who would have gotten that question right out of the gate?
No.
The Beer Mongers.
Oh.
Over on Southeast dang. Division and Southeast 12. Yeah. It's,
how did that take me by surprise?
Oh, it's, you know, it always does. You turn the corner and there they are.
On the corner of 12th and Division.
Precisely. Okay. So, we should get to the topic at hand. Adele,
yeah,
do you want to talk
it.
About leading people on bike tours or being solo first?
Oh. Well, leading people on bike tours happened first, so I could talk about that and
all
then
right. yeah,
go
yeah.
for the alone time.
Because you've always been interested in getting people together, like groups of friends and kind of friends of friends and that sort of thing.
And friends
yeah.
of groups.
Friends
yes.
of groups. Yeah. trying to think. I have been interested in and kind of over the years we would have groups of friends join us. But then it would kind of lull and then Brock and I would do our thing for a while. And then last October, actually, we were going to go out to Thunder Island again.
That's right. Yeah. That's kind of where this all started.
Yeah. A couple of my friends were like, hey, that sounds like fun. We'd like to come with you. And or I think that's how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
then I ended up just sending out a big invite. Thank you, social media.
Yeah.
And I think 12 people came with us last October.
It seemed like more than that, though, didn't it?
It seemed like more, but
okay,
maybe
so
we just had some big personalities. I
okay,
mean, there
was
some colorful personas out there on the road.
Going out to the gorge, like 12 people is a lot.
I think it was probably 12.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of space out there. 30.
Yeah.
You can't really spread out.
You're all strung out on the road for like, well, strung out. Anyways.
Spread across like so much debris.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we took a break over the winter just because it's winter and you kind of hunker down and the weather doesn't really let you get out unless you're kind of crazy. So, we actually didn't do a whole lot of tent camping in the winter.
We are kind of crazy, but not that kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And then April rolled around, and it was time to get the dream team back together again.
Yeah, which is what we, I guess,
kind
we
of became
ended
called.
Up calling it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a nice mixture of friends that I've known for a long time and then people that were sort of like recommended, like, hey, here's someone who would really enjoy going bike touring with you.
Friends of groups.
So then they kind of automatically became our friends and
right.
had to put up with bad jokes and like Disney songs being sung along the route. So
is that like a requirement for your tours?
You have to at least be okay with like,
you have to tolerate the singing of Disney songs.
Knowing that you might hear Just Around the River Bend at least once.
I don't even know that.
It's from Pocahontas.
Oh,
that's why I don't know it.
It's a little bit more on like the B-sides of Disney movies. Anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did Battleground Lake in April, and then in May we did out by Estacada, and then
Milo
June,
MacIver State Park.
Yeah, and then June we went out to Shampooey State Park.
Yeah, so this was like this whole movement of we would do one almost every month. I guess it was, like you said, there wasn't a winter time, but
yeah, it was like a cavalcade. Like we just had so much momentum.
Yeah.
In the spring that we went on the one in April and everyone had such a great time that like I got home and made the invite for the next one like that literally that night
right
after I hadn't even unpacked.
And Facebook was like the tool, right? Like
you
just
was.
Make an event and say, hey, all you people want to go on this thing, right?
Yeah, you make a snappy, you know, title for your event, find a little silly picture, slap it on there, and then just click some buttons and people are invited. So
right,
that's pretty cool. And it was good for me because I'm not always like super proactive inviting a bunch of people, which maybe would tie into me sometimes just going off on my own. Inviting large groups of people is not my forte, I guess, although I do like hanging out with large groups of people. So it was cool to like organize something and then have people really like it and then kind of realize that we created like this great group of people that wanted to get outside and go bike camping. And what was cool was some people had never gone bike camping before. So this was their first time and it was fun to introduce them to it.
That's why it was notable for me is because like a lot of times when I go bike camping with a group, it's like these are various people we know that are into bike camping. But this was a group of people that largely had not very much bike camping experience, but they don't really bike all that much either, right? I mean, like, some people were just getting their feet wet in commuting. Some people had bikes mm-hmm. that, like, well, one person I'm thinking of didn't, their bike didn't even make it out of Portland. Like, she wanted to go on this one trip and ended up being
that was
being
the one in April.
Yeah, ended up being our beer delivery driver instead.
Yeah, she made it, like, 5 miles down the bike trail and then,
and then it was like the derailleur hanger broke or something.
I was in the front, and then we all sort of regrouped about 20 minutes later. It's like, yeah, she had to go back to her car. But she'll meet us up at Battleground, and she'll go get beer. So it turned out okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just, yeah, I just wanted to hear the whole story about that.
So
her bike broke? Like,
it did.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure what exactly broke. Okay. I'm sure she could tell us if she were here. Sure.
Well, I think Aaron Delaney was the one that diagnosed it because we were all kind of there. I was taking up the rear, as often I would do on these trips because I carry the trailer so I can carry extra luggage that people can't fit on their own bike setups. Like if they don't have enough cargo space, I'll carry something for them.
Yeah.
But there was also, I think what happened with her bike is that it was just a shifting issue. It's like it got stuck in one gear and it wasn't a particularly easy gear to ride in. And so Delaney was there at the back with me and he looked at it and he was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't take this bike on a longer trip. And we were only doing, was it 25 miles out of town to Battleground Lake that time?
I think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that was also, there was like kind of a flash flood in a way, not a flash flood, but like just a big cloud burst of incredibly heavy rain.
Yeah. And when I'm leading one of these trips, I sort of take on, like in my mind, I take on responsibility for everyone's happiness.
Sure.
So we're going across that 2-mile long bridge across the Columbia River, the I-205 bridge. And it's already kind of crazy because you got traffic on either side of you, you know, going by at 70 miles an hour. And then there was a hailstorm on top of that.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I was just like, oh,
while you're
no.
on that bridge.
Yeah. Wow. And I was like, everyone's going to hate this. They're going to hate me. Like, everything is going to suck. And, you know, it's something that I was like, well, this is kind of cool to, like, be in a hailstorm over on this bridge. And, like, there's no cover anywhere. And you can't stop because it's the worst place in the world to stop. And
there's no place to stop.
Yeah, so I thought I was going to have to...
It's not like you could,
you could
duck under anything for cover.
No, you could, like, hide under a shard of broken glass.
That's right.
Maybe someone's truck liner fell off and it's
or
in the
like
middle.
Or, like, a wire from someone's truck tire. Yeah. So I made it to the other side, and I thought I was going to have to give everyone a pep talk, like, guys, you can do this. Like, did you ever know you'd have to dig so deep into your reserves? And I got to the other side, and everyone was like, that was awesome, and we made it. So it was really cool. Like, everyone was just game for it, and I didn't have to feel bad that the weather was shitty.
Did you think that
was
like a moment of realization for you then?
It was. The other side, the Washington side of the 205 bridge, I kind of realized, like, oh, people are going to high-five each other, and everyone's got each other's back. I don't need to be necessarily the morale booster on this.
Right,
like, I'll make sure people don't get lost, mostly, hopefully. And, but everyone here is kind of bonding on, you know, regardless of what I do or say.
Well, and you got Delaney, you know.
We do.
He's everyone's morale booster.
Yeah.
That man is the pep squad. It's true.
Yes. You can't be down for long when he's around.
Yeah.
That was a fun trip.
What were some of the difficulties of kind of coordinating a large group of people? Because you did this.
Yeah.
Let's go back before you started.
Back.
All the way
to
back.
The beginning?
The way back.
To the very beginning.
To before you started. So I've got a little bit of, like, you know, inside information just from hanging out with you.
Just play dumb.
Right.
Pretend you don't know anything.
But there was a time where you were like, I'm not going to tour with big groups. This is...
You're right. Ooh. Oh, my God. Aaron, you're right. Deep
and
cut. So, that was back in, like, Memorial Day weekend 2012.
Right. And there was a lot of circumstances behind that. And I'm not... You know, but I also want to bring this back to that time to just
Swear off biking with big groups.
Yeah.
Bike touring.
Yeah, maybe swearing off might be a little strongly stated.
Sure.
But there was a time where you're just like, I'm not going out with big groups.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch this.
And so I'm bringing that back now to kind of show that there was this progression of I don't know, like, attitude or philosophy. And so, yeah, I guess the question I'm trying to hit at is like, you know, where do you think that evolution happened, or what do you think was the cause of this evolution?
Well, I think it changed when I told you, because you biked out with us that Memorial Day weekend 2012. A little background: we had maybe 10 people.
That was another big crowd.
It was huge.
It was fun. Like, I had a good... It was fun. I had a good time, but there were definitely stresses because people were at, like, widely different abilities, physical shape. We had people...
An experience,
you know? Oh, and it was really far. We were going from Hillsboro to the coast, which we're talking about 70 miles over 2 days as opposed to 20 or 30 miles. And there was no, like... overlord. There is no ultimate leader. So I had organized
that was
the big picture for me.
Good,
I think I told you, I was like, I'm not going to do another big group bike trip unless I am, like, designated as the authority, unless I am the overlord of this thing that is happening. Because when we went out to the coast in 2012, I remember I wanted to sort of crack the whip and be like, okay, guys, let's go. We'll take a break in 10 miles. But I didn't feel at liberty to do that because I hadn't sort of said that at the outset.
Right.
And you, like, never set that up and no one gave you permission to crack the whip.
We'll be like a democracy and everyone can have an equal voice. So if someone was like, I want to pull over here and eat a hot dog for 30 minutes, I'd be like, okay, like, you can do that.
Well, I wouldn't say that that's a democracy either. But... But yeah, there was at least a lack of stated leadership.
There was
in that particular bout, mm-hmm. and the route itself wasn't very like group friendly, especially
we had
a lot of people who were new to the
We had to climb over the Coast Range on Highway 6, so we're climbing up 1,500
feet on Highway 6 on Memorial Day.
Yes,
yeah,
it was less than. An easy entry point for people who were new to bike camping. It was just like, okay, we'll take you to top of the mountain, Black Diamond, boom, there you go.
Yeah.
So I think what changed was
throwing you in the deep end, learn to swim.
yeah, it was exactly like that. So yeah. I was like, the group bike trips that we went on in October and then April, May, June, I designed the routes to be beginner friendly, to be a nice entry point for people who had either done very little bike touring or no bike touring. Well, camping, I guess. I don't think a 2-day actually
was this on the outset. Where did you decide like, okay, I'm gonna design a route that is going to be easy for everybody?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Kinder, gentler Adele.
Yes, this is me at my most generous. Like I would write, and part of me trying to draw people in was I would write pretty detailed. I thought pretty detailed. Explanations of the routes we were going to take. So,
like multiple paragraphs.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, we're going to have a little hill here and a hill here.
All but doing like, you know, run sheets or cue sheets.
Yeah, no cue sheets, but, you know, a lot of kind of hand-holding in a way. Like, here's our route. And even, I think I might have even mapped it and put a link to our route. And I didn't provide people with packing lists because I was like, oh, hope they have that covered. Hope I don't have to think about that for everybody, what to bring. But we also loaned out a bunch of extra gear that we have to friends who needed it to fill in the holes. So I think the big difference of, you know, that missing piece for me to want to be with a big group or lead a big group was just saying like, hey, I'm going to lead it. Not that I always want you asking me questions all the time, but I'm happy to, you know, plan it. And then I can also sort of like set the pace a little bit. And then Brock was awesome because you were the sweep.
I was the sweep. I was there to
You're a really good sweep. You're so considerate.
Push everyone along.
Yeah. You wait for everybody and you're so good at that. So I appreciated that you kind of like were that caboose.
Oh, thanks.
Did you guys use the radios?
No, we should have.
We still have two-way radios. I got them. I finally got them charged up again. So
yeah.
Now we could if we wanted to.
We really need to use those because we have them.
That would be great. Like for one of these things, if like the sweep has one and then the leader has
right,
the other.
Right. Yeah. And this is, I think, was this before or after I got a cell phone?
It might have been before. Well, certainly just, before last October.
Before.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was Brock having a cell phone.
Right.
So sometimes we wouldn't see the end of the group for maybe 10 or 20 minutes and wonder where they were. And in June, it was like, oh, they all have heat exhaustion and they're 5 miles back. Good thing Brock's with them.
That's right.
I
and think then
in
I
that
did
case,
have
we
a cell
did
phone.
Have a cell phone. Yeah.
Yeah. But a radio would be a cheaper and easier way to do that anyways.
Yeah, it would. So
but yeah, that was the thing was, yeah, it was even if everyone could have physically done the route, there was also the summer weather where it was just like over 100 degrees.
Well, yeah, it got hot really fast here, you know, by June.
Yeah.
It was already about 100.
Shout out to Josh G, who went on that one with us.
Yeah.
Well, and this is the cool thing is that on these trips, it wasn't just like one group of friends that was going out. It was, you know, multiple different circles kind of connecting.
Right. It wasn't one constant group all the time.
No. Yeah. It kind of shifted. And some people, we have been friends for years and years. And some people were people that I'd met only recently. But it was fun to kind of pull all those people together and they got to know each other. And it was a nice way. I mean, people certainly bond when they're doing things outside and kind of sweating together, I guess.
Yeah, and I think there's, especially when you're all, you know, sort of on bikes together and you got a common destination, it's going to build in a team, team building kind of
a
dynamic.
Rapport.
Yeah, a rapport to it.
Say it makes for a dream team.
Yeah.
One could say that.
Yeah. Well, I was also thinking we had like it was varying levels of feasibility with people who wanted to somehow participate either for part of it and not the other, like say they wanted to ride out and then get a ride back or in the case in which we camped in a hiker biker site and someone decided they wanted to drive and join us, which
because they were too busy during the day to bike out, but they still wanted to hang out because this person had been on the previous bike camping trip with us and just knew how awesome it was.
Yeah, but presents its own logistical challenges when, like, you're not allowed to have that that motor vehicle there and camp in the hiker biker.
Those were some tough waters to navigate. Yeah. And we tried to be accommodating to people who wanted to either bike out and drive home or drive out, meet us, hang out, and then drive back. So I don't know. Maybe in the future we can clarify lines a little bit. But at the same time, I think it's cool, Brock, that you and I were flexible about it.
Right. It's like...
Well, and also I wouldn't imagine that that's your guys' responsibility.
That's whoever decides to drive a car.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah.
But I also don't want...
And like the park.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sorry, those are the rules.
I also don't want someone to just be like, hey, I thought I could just do this. Why isn't it cool? And they find out that Oregon State Parks is serious about the no car policy or whatever.
So we did feel some responsibility regardless, even though it wasn't really our responsibility. It did add a little bit of a different, like a little bit of a stressor.
Yeah, but I think we did decide too that like if we know that we're going to have a big group and some people might need to drive, you know, you can stick one or two cars into a rented, like a standard conventional campsite.
Sure.
So if we were going to do this again, we might just do that.
And even if you guys arrive by bike, it doesn't mean you have to do the hiker bike.
Exactly.
You can rent a regular.
I guess the tricky part is like when we were camping, it was in the warmer months, and these are all campgrounds close to Portland, and they fill up really fast.
Right,
so oftentimes the hiker biker is all that's left. Unless you, of course we could reserve it, you know, in advance. So we'll kind of figure that out. I mean, we're getting back into winter, so we probably won't do another one till spring.
Well, I was going to ask, do you think you'll do this again? Because it seemed at a certain point, it seemed like you had had your run of leading trips.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I think I was ready to take a break because it is a lot of work. It's a lot of just fielding questions. And some weekends, I just don't want to like answer any questions because by the end of the week I'm terrible at answering questions because my brain is pretty fried. So I'll probably cool it over the winter, but I'd probably be ready to go again by next April.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah. So take the winter off and then you'll be all recharged again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I did enough solo stuff that that's
would you like
part
to tell us about
brain.
That?
That's a great
my own little
you
into the wild venture here. Well, it is sort of the other end of the spectrum then is when I went off touring by myself this summer. It's completely opposite than hanging out with 15 other friends around a campfire at night, going off on your own.
It's very different.
Yeah, it doesn't get more different than that. So,
but you're a woman. How did you go out in the woods all by yourself? Weren't you scared? Note the sarcasm dripping from my voice.
Well, so I was actually remembering some times when Brock and I have been touring in the past and we'll be stopped somewhere. This has happened more than once, I think. And Brock will be maybe in the bathroom or getting food or something and someone will see me. Like one time this lady saw me standing out by my bike and she's like, oh, you're not biking by yourself, are you? And I was like, no, my husband's with me. And she like gets this look of utter relief. And she's like, oh, thank goodness. Like, you're safe. And then she walked away. So that really does a whole lot to make you think that, you know, we have a lot. Gender equality is achieved.
Isn't that weird?
2015.
That, like, misogyny is kind of like baked into like even a woman's perspective when they meet you and they think you're alone.
Yeah, it was really strange. So that probably happened a few years ago. And then I got the opportunity to do some bike trips by myself. And Brock, you've gone off on your own before.
I have.
You've told me like how great it is, how you experience the world in a different way.
Yeah.
And you were always like, you should do it, Adele. And I was like, but if you can go with me, why would I ever go by myself?
You just had to get to the point where you were finally tired of hanging out with me.
Yeah. So then in June, you had to work and I got down to California before you did. So I had 4 days to kill between when my family was hanging out with me in California, when you were going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, I have 4 days. I can just bike around on my own. And it was really different going by myself.
And ride the least bicycle friendly highway in California.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we'll get to that. But, I've talked a bit about biking around Tahoe on my own, maybe on our trip updates, but, it was kind of, life-changing for me, actually, which is weird because I've spent a lot of time outdoors. I've done a lot of bike trips, but it was totally life-changing to go off for 4 days, 3 nights by myself and start at Tahoe. No, I had to end in Sacramento and then just kind of figure out what I wanted to do in between. So it was a lot of freedom when you're on your own. You can just go wherever you want to go. You don't have to like swap notes or, you know, negotiate with anybody about what route you want to take. So if I wanted to sit on a beach for 3 hours, I could, and I didn't have anyone pressuring me to like keep going. Or if I
like
wanted
I
to
would
keep
usually
going,
be doing.
I like to sit on beaches more than Brock does.
I'm not as big of a fan of sitting on beaches. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was cool. And, I think when you're by yourself, you experience like the fear and the joy is more amplified, both of those things. So you don't have a buffer, like you don't have another person to like talk you down if you're really freaked out about something. Like if you're freaked out about the road or the woods you're camping in, you don't have that other person to kind of like be like, hey, this is cool, like to sort of rationalize with you. So like you could get way more scared when you're by yourself, but then there's like the other side of the spectrum where you actually like feel way more crazy and like, I don't know, joyful in a way when you're by yourself. I don't
know.
Yeah,
I'm doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm out in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. So there were some moments where, I don't know, I was just like singing to myself and just like having such a good time. And I think part of it was because I just felt so, I don't know, just like empowered being on the road on my own.
Yeah.
So it was kind of weird to like go from those like the really high of feeling super happy on my own and then feeling like maybe getting like slightly more lonely and then getting like, oh, I haven't talked to anyone for 12 hours. What's that like? That's weird for me. But experiencing that too. So it was just a lot more contrast, I guess, when you're out by yourself.
And it depends on who you're talking to. Like some people go to the bicycle touring thing specifically for solitude.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But not everybody does. And some people, you know, some people want to go camping with just small groups and locally.
I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to say you're a pretty social person.
I would consider myself
a
social person.
You're out of line, Eric Lawrence.
What?
So I'm
an extroverted introvert, is what I like to say. I'm a people-loving introvert, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I imagine that like there was a time on your own where you were, I don't know, again, I'm sorry if I am speaking out of line, but like you maybe were craving like somebody to talk to and just wondering what do I do with this energy?
Yeah. You know? There were a lot of times like that.
Yeah.
And but then I would be very aware of it.
Uh-huh.
So I would be camping and say, oh, I kind of want to talk to that person, but I don't want to come off as too eager to talk to them. So my crazy brain does all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And especially it was when it was most poignant for me was and most evident was when I was off biking by myself, actually at the end of our bike tour. And I went from Salem down to Brownsville to Eugene and then up into the Cascades again. And I was camping and I was sharing campsite with PCT through hikers. So these guys were hiking the Pacific Crest Trail,
right.
And they all kind of have their own like buddy thing going on. And I was like, I do cool stuff too. I really want to talk to you, be your friend, and I want to nickname a trail name too. But I didn't want to like look too desperate for human company. So I don't know. For like a lot of that evening that I was at this campground, I just kind of like sat by myself with a book and like they were all hanging out on the front porch of this store, like laughing and having a great time. And I knew that all I had to do was like maybe stand up and go say hi. But I was like, but no, I'm by myself. Oh, and I don't want to seem too desperate for their company. So it was like my brain kind of gets a little bit crazy. And that was after I'd been by myself for 3 days.
Right.
So again, I'd had 3 days, like layers and layers and layers of just like, I'm on my own built up. And then what do I even say to these people? Like, I don't know how to talk to people anymore. Anyways, I did end up hanging out with them for a little while at the end of it all. But yeah, it's, I definitely would get that, like that sense of like, oh, it would be really good for me to talk to someone right now.
Yeah.
Cause otherwise I do just talk to myself and I love talking to myself. I have a great time.
That's the thing I noticed too. Yeah, is that when I'm on my own, I do talk to myself.
Do you talk to yourself too?
I hope no one sees me doing this.
Yeah,
setting up your tent by yourself.
Yeah,
Just
and now I'm going to put the gi lines here.
I mean, it's better than like the angry talking, like Vietnam should have died, you know, or whatever.
But, oh my God, Brock! Those people who pass us in the street—they're just us. Like if you like had us 20 years of. Being on our own instead of 3 days, yeah.
Right, right, exactly.
Well, I actually do feel for those people more now that are like, la, la, la.
Like people talk, anyone could talk to themselves.
Like, how could they say that to me and just sort of ranting to themselves? I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, it only took me about 3 days to get partly there.
Right, yeah. And it only takes, like, if I'm not listening to podcasts, it only takes me like an hour or two.
To get there? Yeah. To where you're just walking along,
like, shuffling
like,
around, like, doing
yourself.
The dishes home, be like, oh, I could have got the spot off of that one. Way to go, Brock. So, yeah.
Save the tent. Wow, that's a great-looking tent tonight. Wow, Adele, you did a great job. Let's see what's for dinner.
Oh. Sure glad I changed that tube when I did. Yeah. I mean, these are all the things that you say to yourself in your head, but it just eventually, like, there's no one else around, so you start saying them out loud because they sound better that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I also had a lot of really hilarious interactions
going
along with the lady, who years before, like, oh, you're by yourself. Thank God your husband's with you. I got a lot of comments, like, along those lines.
Sure.
It was really fascinating. So, the second night I was in Lake Tahoe, I was camping at a hiker biker spot, and the ranger that I checked in with, she was like, oh, you're by yourself. And she looked all concerned. And I was like, yeah, you know, doing a couple days on my own. And she's like, well, the hiker biker's, excuse me, woo, beer. She's like, that's right next to my RV. I've been in law enforcement for 25 years.
You're safe with me.
I'll look out for you.
Yeah.
And she's got the big guns.
I was like, oh, my mom will be happy to hear that. Great. and then just, there were two other times when like a dude came up and wanted to talk to me. Just like, hey, what are you doing? The first one when I was putting my bike together by the side of the road at the McDonald's in Truckee, California. And, you know, his first line is, I don't want to be creepy. But what are you doing? And then the next morning, I'm eating breakfast, and this, like, dude comes over. There are a bunch of Boy Scouts camping across, and, like, the first thing, I don't want to be creepy, but couldn't help noticing that you're, like, camping here on your own.
So was it better for them to preface it with that or not?
It depended on their, like, facial expressions.
Okay.
I could tell that they were fine. You know, like if you had told me that, like, in this room, I would have said, that sounds really creepy.
Right.
Get the
right.
Fuck away from me. I have my, I don't have pepper spray. I don't have anything. But
you shouldn't tell the world that, right?
No. So, but like those guys, I think they were just trying, they were like genuinely curious, and both of them, or like the guy from the Boy Scout troop, he was like, whoa, he was like, I've been like telling my guys, like, look at that lady over there doing this. Like, you guys need to up your game, you know?
The Scoutmaster approves.
Yeah. So I got approved by the Scoutmaster of some, like, coastal town in Oregon or California. So, and it was just interesting because those are interactions that, and other conversations are conversations I would never have had if I was with Brock or with anybody else. So you definitely find yourself talking to people a lot more when you're by yourself, and not just to yourself.
Yeah. I think that is an interesting dynamic to think about because, like, a lot of people who do some kind of bicycle tour with other people, like, not saying you shouldn't do it that way, but there's a limiting factor. Like, if you want to experience, like, the American pastiche or whatever, then you might have better chances at meeting interesting people and having interesting conversations if you're by yourself.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it depends on what you're bicycle touring for. Like, a lot of people just want to go out in the woods with their friends, too. And that's totally okay.
I might counterpoint that.
Yeah?
At least in my experience, when I bike by myself, mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm going back to when the three of us were doing Big Sur, and I was on my own, I didn't talk to anybody.
Mm.
I, like, had one passerby, like, you know, go like, yeah, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. I loved that.
You have to be out. But you were only on your own for a few hours.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, I'm also not a very outgoing person either. But when we were together and, like, people came up and talked to us, like, I met more people with you guys than any of the times that I was on my own, mm-hmm. you know, writing.
Okay. You just have to cultivate your facial expressions that say, talk to me.
Yeah.
I actually have to purposely shut that down when I bike tour by myself. Yeah.
You have to like get stone faced.
I do. Yeah. Well, because sometimes I really don't want to talk to anyone.
Sure.
And so I actually do have this face that I'll put on. It's also like my big city face. Like, I'm walking around.
Are you doing it right now?
Because no, I'm not.
Because okay. I don't see that working for you.
So this would be just that.
Oh, the big city. This is my city face.
The I'm pissed face.
Yeah. I'm not doing it right now. I can't because I'm not in that mood.
I just call it my face.
You call it your face. It's your resting
it's
face.
Just my face.
Your resting face is don't talk to me face. Whereas my resting face is like, hi, like say something to me. And I often have like really weird eye contact with strangers in Portland.
It's dangerous.
Because I'll just be like walking down the street, I don't know, singing like Simon and Garfunkel, and then they'll like look at me and say something like really weird. So when
it probably doesn't help to point at people either. Feeling groovy. Right, stranger? Huh? You're with me. You got it.
You're not supposed to answer back.
Yeah, don't answer. I'm just...
yes, I am feeling groovy.
No, when I went down the Highway of Death, Highway 50 from Lake Tahoe down to Sacramento, that's when I had like my like steel, my blue steel, but not really.
Blue steel.
My road steel, my road warrior. I had my road warrior face on.
It has a name.
Road warrior face, where I didn't expect anyone to really talk to me, but I was like, I don't want anyone to mess with me right now. Like, I'm serious. I'm going down this extremely dangerous highway, and I am just going to look like very just impassive. Mm-hmm. So I'll do that too. But it is kind of stressful to like have to like cement your face into those lines for so long. So
unnaturally against your grain.
It was rough, but it also is like it's a good shield. It's a good shield to put on sometimes.
Sure.
When you're touring by yourself and you're like, I don't know, a lady on your own. Sometimes sure. I do just put on my sunglasses and like put on my road warrior face and just try and like project that out to the world. I don't know if it works or not.
So what's the worry? Is it like there are creepy dudes that want to like take me home or something? Or
I guess. Yeah. Or just like people just like, I don't know, yell something out of a car.
Right, right, exactly. Even if it's like, I don't know, like on the surface anyways, like harmless. I put that in quotes because I don't know if it's really truly harmless. But even if it is like somewhat harmless to you, I still don't really want to deal with like, comments from rolled down windows or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like in the urban context is the street harassment thing.
Right.
And
right.
When you're touring, it's just we hear less about that because there are fewer women doing solo touring outside of cities and, you know, in the woods and whatnot.
Yeah, you don't see a whole lot.
Not that there aren't, but there are fewer than there are men, I think. So it's more likely you're going to bump into someone who rolls down a window and yells something crude at you. And yeah, so just like trying to shut that down preemptively, like I don't want that experience today. Not that you ever do, but.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to think why. That sums it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, what would you recommend to any other women out there that want to go bicycle touring on their own?
Let's see. Find a man to go with you.
Misogyny baked into many women. Just kidding.
Yeah, I would say know like what's good for you. So I camped in established campgrounds and kind of made friends with the hosts just because I was like, I just want to feel safe. And that was awesome for me. And it was nice for me to like end up at the end of the day in a campground where I could also talk to other people. So I loved it. So I did that first trip from Tahoe down to Sacramento on my own. And then I really liked it. So then I did 3 other days after you had to work in Salem.
Because was the plan for you to go back to Portland?
It could have been.
We didn't really figure that out.
It could have been. Didn't figure it out.
But you ended up going out on your own.
Yeah, and then I did a 4-day backpacking trip on my own around Mount Hood and love that. So
I would say try
an overnight by yourself and see how you like it and then go from there. I guess plan, because when you're by yourself, you don't have anyone to fall back on. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have anyone to like have an extra bottle of water that you can use, which happened to me, you know, running out of water on Nesteca River Road.
And, yeah.
You know, you have to have like all your food, all your water. You have to plan. So you just have to have all those details, and you have to, I mean, it's kind of freeing too, to know that you're the last, you know, you're the one who gets to make all the decisions. So you can stay anywhere as long as you want, or you can keep going. Yeah, but I would say get it out and do it, because I really don't see a lot of lady solo tourists. Like, when we've done the coast, it's mostly guys. And when we're out, well, we didn't see hardly anybody in the Sierra.
Right, we saw very few people.
Cascade route this year, there are hardly any bicycle tourists at all. But I don't know, maybe what Cheryl Strayed did for backpacking. I actually see a lot of... women backpackers just kind of out on their own, and maybe the like solo bike touring will get bigger too as time goes on. Maybe someone will write a best-selling book.
Write a book called Tired.
Tired.
Get it? Because bikes, right? Right, guys?
Exactly.
Oh my God. I'm really slow at puns, and I just got it. Oh. I'm glad I didn't get it like 3 hours from now.
This idea, copyright, the Sprocket Podcast 2015.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, if you're someone who likes people like I do, it could actually be really good for you to get out and solo bike tour for a few days on your own.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are really afraid of being lonely. I am too. But you'll find people to talk to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I'm less afraid of being lonely and more afraid of being eaten.
Then just don't go to places where you'll get eaten. Are you talking about being eaten by humans or?
Well, okay. now there's that too.
Wild beasts.
Don't go in.
Mostly like bears or something. But now I'm also like afraid of a Texas chainsaw kind of situation.
Right,
happening.
Right.
Yeah. Well, don't go to rural areas and don't go to the mountains, and you definitely won't get eaten by anything. No.
Based on a novel by Cormac McCarthy. Yeah, and maybe just one more thing. For anybody who wants to take groups of friends bicycle camping, you love to bike, but you have a bunch of friends who don't, but they have bikes. What do you do?
Designate yourself their leader.
Just state it right from the beginning. I am your leader. What I say goes.
Yeah, get your friends out there. I mean, you know what? You could always have one person drive everyone's stuff out and then everyone else bikes. If not, because we had the luxury of Brock and I have this extra trailer that we tied people's things onto. Just be available to help your friends set up their gear. And it'll be really fun.
Sure. Start supported. Maybe someday they'll go non-supported.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we'll all go out by ourselves. That'll be the next dream team. We'll start together, and then I'll be like, all right, everybody, we're going to camp by ourselves tonight.
And like in 3 days, we're all going to meet over here.
You're
going to
discover yourself. You're going to have some great journal entries. You're going to read some great books.
This is actually a pretty cool idea.
Listen to some streams.
This sounds like you could make a lucrative living here doing this.
Yeah.
Selling it to upper class white people.
I'm gonna start looking for some spots.
Well, hey, Adele, thank you for sharing your experiences with us.
You're so welcome.
We're so formal, aren't we?
Thanks for having me on here. Now we're gonna go home and like not talk at all.
Right. No, we already.
We do all our talking outside the house, and then Brock and I get home, and we're just like, ugh. We talked all day to other people.
What do you want? We already talked.
Yeah. I'm like, don't talk to me on this. This is your podcast, Brock. I know what's going on in your life.
How's it going? All right.
What's up? Okay. I'm going to bed.
Good night. Good night.
More, it's like, hey, let's listen to Eve 6.
That's right. Exactly. Let me play some of my vocab, Brock, for you. Well, we got two headlines, one from a listener. So here it comes.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as it can into the morning.
All right, this first one was tweeted to
tweeted
us from. I realize I misspelled.
It's
tweet.
Funny because it's T X E E T E D. It's I was wondering if that
that's
was like
how all the cool kids do it.
Everybody's Sikh theme now. Yeah.
This was tweeted to us from Anna Quincy in Baltimore, from thestranger.com. Bike activists, I have seen the future. You are going to hate it.
By oh no,
Dan Savage. And this came.
Dan Savage, the sex columnist?
Yes. Yes.
What
yes.
does he have to say about bikes?
He's so, first off, this actually got a little, I don't know why I read the comment sections of anything, but I ended up reading the comment sections for this one.
I do. And it, so, yeah, and I'm
this
like,
one
why?
Got this one
why?
Got really heated.
Just apoplectic commenters.
And I will say this. We'll say this. I don't think Dan Savage got it right.
Okay.
In
I'm interested.
So the snippet out of this is he describes about this time where he went to Munich and he rode bikes because that's what people do in Europe.
Oh, right? Sure.
All over. Well, definitely yep. in Munich.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah.
we did.
And he describes this time where he's biking and there is a woman in pink who is going very slow. But nobody passes this person. Everybody just, like, lets her set the pace. And everybody's okay with that.
They're okay you with know? Going slow?
This is...
What the
according,
fuck?
Yeah, right. According to him, this was the way it went.
Yeah.
Maybe so anyways, in Germany you'll be cursed if you pass a woman riding a bike in pink.
That could be.
So, to most European cyclists, the pace being set by this woman in pink was just fine. This wasn't a race. We're all going to get where we need to go. Why not take it slow and enjoy the view? But to most American cyclists, to cyclists used to bombing along on city streets or being one of the small handful of cyclists using one of our small handfuls of dedicated bike paths, the pace set by the woman in pink would have felt deadly. And that's where I think he got it wrong.
Okay.
Why deadly?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's an accurate description, but
like I'm going to get run over.
No, I don't. I think he just is saying that, and to some extent, it's true that Americans love speed, and by extension, American bicyclists
love cocaine.
To bike. Yes, love to bike fast, and I don't know if he's totally right with that. Mm-hmm. Like spend a week over here.
Yeah, you know, like maybe we've got has a lot he of, really ridden a bike much here?
Right.
There's a lot.
I think he's based out of Seattle.
A lot of slow ladies in pink in Portland.
But no matter which city you're in, it does depend on where you are. I mean,
well,
you know,
yeah.
like there are certain places where people will be riding
or where
fast.
Where you bike, sure.
And there are certain places where people might not be. But yes.
Or who you bike with, or
yes.
or even at what time you bike. Like
right. If you have to get to work, there's nothing wrong with biking away at a good clip.
Sure.
2 to 3 p.m. is the pink hour.
Is that
yeah.
2 to 3 p.m.?
Yes. Yes.
But come 4 o'clock, you going through like 6 p.m.?
It's like if everyone's biking home from a yoga class, great.
But in the meantime, like, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with going slow. I honestly think that even cyclists could use slowing down.
I love to go slow sometimes. Usually on my way home from work, I take a good 15 minutes longer to get home than
sure.
I do getting to work.
I mean,
ooh, me too.
And going
it's so
fast.
Nice. It's just luxurious.
Going fast is fine, but I think there's also, I don't know. I guess the issue I'm really taking with Mr. Savage here on this point is that, one, not all bikes need to go fast. Not all American bicyclists like to or have to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even say that bike activists would probably advocate for slower bike lanes and slower bike infrastructure.
Okay, so it seems like our perspective is that maybe Dan Savage thinks that bike advocates all want to go fast.
Right.
Like activists or whatever. Oh, and what's the difference between activism and advocacy, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, the idea that if everybody starts biking, we might all have to slow down a little bit. I'm okay with that, personally. I think that's like what any civil society would do. Unfortunately, American traffic is not the most civil of societies, but yeah, I think his point, I feel like his point stands. Maybe he's thinking of lycra warriors or something like that.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't think, at least in my perspective, I don't think that's the majority of bike activism.
Yeah. We should ask him.
Let's get him on the show.
Let's find out. Ooh. Yeah. Well, yeah, we can't just call him up. I don't have his phone number, but yeah, we can find out. Okay. Okay. Excellent. All right. What else we got?
Next one comes to us from the btaoregon.org. Article by our good friend Carl Larson.
Carl Larson. Wait, he gets something, right? Oh, he gets one of these.
There you go. I thought you were going to do get to the job.
I thought so too. Wait for it. We'll leave it in there.
Barber fixes years late and not what we ordered.
Like my haircut.
Hey.
Your haircut is
years
right?
late. I gave you that damn haircut, Bob.
I'm just kidding.
All right.
This is why we don't talk when we go home.
He's already insulted me by the time I like step in the door.
No, see, it's funny because it's a road called Barber, and it sounds like they got to cut your hair, but it's spelled differently.
Oh, it wasn't personal.
Wasn't it funny?
It is now.
Now okay. It's so funny.
All right. So he talks about there's a report given by ODOT. Of these certain fixes that are proposed.
The Oregon Department of Transportation?
Correct. Thank you. these fixes for Barber Boulevard, which for those of you who are listening from outside of Portland is...
a shitty place to bike.
Yes. And yet, for a lot of people, the only place to bike.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least the only option for them to get into the city.
It's like the major artery from like up in the hill country in the southwest to downtown.
Right. Yeah. If you live in the southwest... you're going to have to deal with Barber in some
right.
way.
Or the Southwest Trails on a fat bike.
There you go.
I guess.
So here the snippet goes, the report lists 7 explored options for the bridges, these bridges that go along Barber Boulevard.
Yeah.
3 options provide buffered bike lanes. 1 option even provides substantial physical separation, but none of these options had consensus from the group, as in... the group that is going to implement these changes or decide what changes to implement decided none of those options are worth exploring.
They could not agree. Yeah.
Most distressingly, he says, none of these options provide safe, dedicated space for pedestrians. 6 leave the sidewalks at a substandard 30 inches. 1 requires people walking and fast-moving bikes to share widened sidewalks.
Well, you know what we need? Ooh, is a lady wearing pink.
There you go.
That would solve, it.
Solve everything.
It's all connected here.
Yeah. No, I drive Barber this year in my school bus, taking kids to and from school every day. And Barber is an interesting corridor because it really is a freeway. And it's what people use to avoid the freeway when the freeway is not going fast enough for them. So, yeah, it's...
So it's basically the spillover for the freeway.
In a way, yeah.
And it's so tempting to bike down it because I used to work up there in those southwest hills.
Sure.
And a lot of days I would prefer to take Terwilliger, which is quieter, has a bike lane, is windier.
Terwilliger?
Yes. You didn't tell me how to correctly pronounce it until like 8 months into our dating relationship.
See, these are the complexities of romance. You don't want to correct someone until you know them like really well.
So Terwilliger could be an option, an alternative to Barber, but Barber's just so tempting because it's like so quick.
Right.
And you just want to bomb down it. But it's so dangerous.
Well, and I mean, I don't know where you are in relation to Terwilliger. Or
whatever. How do we say it now?
I've always pronounced it Terwilliger.
Good job.
That is correct.
Okay.
You win Portland.
You were meant to be in Portland, Aaron Flores.
I don't know. I pronounced it. I pronounced
the rose
couch for forever, too.
Oh. Mm.
Do you sit on it?
Yes, sometimes.
It's a couch.
It's a couch.
I like to say call it Sofa Street.
Anybody out of town, this is funny because it's pronounced Cooch Street.
Davenport Road.
Like, exactly. Yes. Chesterfield.
This will be our new code.
Anyways, I don't know where you are in relation, but it takes a while to get to Terwilliger and some places if you're near Barber already.
Right, right. There's different points on Barber. So, right, Terwilliger wouldn't be a good option for a lot of people who would take Barber. Well, I mean, anything they do will be better than what it is now. Right?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Let's hope so. Like, yeah.
I mean, this article didn't really give me a whole lot of hope, I'll be honest.
Right. Like, it's late and it sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Well,
everybody stop moving to Portland.
It is interesting. Like, we are.
I'm just kidding. Unless you bring your own personal car, then don't move to Portland.
Here, play your sound effect.
Oh, yeah. The.
Oh.
Yes.
Is that the one?
Yes.
Call to action?
No. I wanted to say head to the chopper.
Oh.
Get to the chopper!
There we go. Hey, we got one more piece of mail.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Is there anything else on Barber?
There is nothing
besides
else.
Tons of traffic?
Tons, yeah.
Okay.
We got mail.
Again.
Again.
Whoa, do we ever get to hear the song twice on the podcast? Is this also a first?
It might be.
Whoa, October 19th, you guys. 2015.
This is from Chris in Chico.
Ah, Chico finally has a cyclocross scene.
Woo.
I saw a poster for Thursday night cyclocross and showed up only to smell the sweet, sweet smell of beer and bacon. Right then I knew I found my people. Just wanted to proclaim cyclocross makes my week better. Even if I do wake up sore the next.
Hey, good for Chris and good for Chico. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, speaking of cyclocross.
Yeah.
We ran into Terry.
That's right.
And he encourages us to head out to PIR.
Yeah, PIR has a cyclocross thing, as I understand.
To participate or to cheer?
If it's not cyclocross, maybe it's bike racing.
Heckle.
But,
heckle? Okay. Yes. Well, if there's beer and bacon, then you won't be bored.
Beer, bacon, and heckle.
Oh, and you can heckle.
Yeah. We should do that from here, from the studio. Just have someone like live stream us, you know, get like a Periscope or whatever. And then we just like sit here.
Pedal faster, damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
You lazy cow. Have some more bacon.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good for Chico.
Totally. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, let's close this down. Adele, what's our closing theme this time?
I get to choose a theme?
Yeah, what kinds of voices do we need to have for our closing
Wait,
credits?
Like, you, do I get to ask like, you to go into, like, opera voice?
Sure.
Or, like, what's your voice? What's the guy on Jurassic Park? I'm totally blanking.
Dueling Goldblums.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter to @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herbert for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K, and Shadowfoot.
Katharina Melumgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish and Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Dave Brunner, Dave Knows, Andy Brunner, sorry.
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, J.P. Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick R. Chain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna Christoskoukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy,
King of Division, Josh Zisson, and Richard G. First comes the ooing and the awing, and then comes the running and the screaming. Brush your teeth.
And go to bed.